Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Wayne for the bound. Lob City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that's all deep. Back to Schaefer, at the wall.
Take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling at a fender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southern Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Another beautiful Thursday night, and with me I have Hootie. What's going on, Hootie?
I'm doing good. I'm sorry I missed last week's show, a little under the weather, but I'm glad to be back with you, Mr. Zinman.
That's right. Zen Man's done a few solo shows on his own, so I was well prepared. But no problem. Got you here tonight, which is good. And we are currently have a football game going on right now. NFL, we have the Packers hosting the Bears. And looks like the Packers just got an interception return. They're at the Bears 20 up 16-3. And I kind of figured this was going to happen. The line was Packers by 5. And, wow, they just scored a touchdown. So the Packers are now 22-3. Matt Forte injured, ankle injury, after I think it was Woodson, his knee hit his ankle. So he's out after the big injury set him back last year. So hopefully he's all right. I mean hopefully because he's a good guy. I do have his backup on my fantasy team, which, you know, it's going to result in better points for him. But I do hope Forte gets better. But as of right now, pending the extra point, Packers up 23-3. So what are your thoughts? I mean, did you think the Packers were going to – I mean, I don't know how anybody – a lot of people actually thought the Bears would win this game, but it's based on one bad game against the 49ers that the Packers lost. I mean, what did you think was going to happen?
I didn't think the Chicago Bears could beat the Packers. I mean, yeah, the Niners game, you know, that made everybody think differently about them, but – they're a strong team. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. You know they were going to come out strong. Cutler doesn't seem to be doing too good tonight. He's running his average game. They're just not a strong enough team.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the Packers. Greg Jennings injured, but doesn't mean they don't have like three or four more really good wide receivers. Plus they have Cedric Benson, who is a pretty quality back that they haven't had in a while. They've been good the last couple of years. They really haven't had a solid back, which is unbelievable. It just shows you how good that Aaron Rodgers is. We'll get more on that game as it goes. It might end throughout the show. Just going into top news. We have, just talking about last week's NFL. RG3, if you haven't heard already, second overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner. He had more potential than Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck was just more of a solid, good quarterback, you know, a more safer pick. RG3 going to the Redskins, and he had a huge game for the Redskins, 5 starting QBs last week, rookies, and RG3 by far had the best game, defeating Drew Brees and the Saints in the Dome. So really good for him. Other college football news, Notre Dame actually goes to the ACC in all sports but football. So I don't really understand why all these teams go to all these different conferences. It's kind of stupid, but I must be for some higher purpose. Looks like Manny Pacquiao. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, they're switching over to, you know, the ACC. I don't even know why they would do that. I mean, Notre Dame is not a strong basketball team, so they're going to get slaughtered in basketball. You know, that I don't know what the move really means for them and what it's really going to do for them, because they're never going to win a championship in basketball. The ACC is too tough. So
yeah,
why would you switch all the sports except for football, you know?
I don't know. Somebody behind the Notre Dame staff or higher-ups thinks has a solid plan in line, I guess. I don't know. We'll see if that has anything to do with anything. Just something as Manny Pacquiao has headed for a fourth showdown with rival Juan Manuel Marquez. Rather than a rematch against Timothy Bradley, which we all thought would happen, obviously that was a big controversial win for Bradley. We all thought Pacquiao won the fight, me being one of them. But that's what top-ranked promoter Bob Arum said. So we'll see. I guess that looks like he'll be his next fight. Not sure when the date will be. A few months probably. So look forward to that, of course. Look at the NHL actually could be headed for a lockout in the coming weeks if the players and owners don't agree on a new deal. So lockouts left and right. Obviously last year, basketball and the NFL. This year, NFL refs, and looks like it could be the NHL. Nobody wants to get along. Looks like today's game, Greg Jennings did not play. He was 50-50, but he didn't play. Although I did see him on every other commercial, but nah, he didn't play today. But it doesn't look like it's slowing down the Packers at all. And just recently, all four players in the bounty scandal for the NFL, Donovan Vilma, one of them, they all got let go. All are allowed to play all 16 games. And they're all going to meet with Roger Goodell this next week just to talk about it. So we'll see if they reveal anything. I mean, they're already let go, so I don't think at this point any further actions will take place. So we'll see if, I don't know, what the meeting can help anybody out. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And bigger news, UConn head coach, longtime coach, 26 seasons with the UConn Huskies, Jim Calhoun, retires at age 70. Like I said, 26 seasons, 3 national championships, 4 Final Fours. So good for him. And any other top news you got for me?
Oh, no, I was just watching a story about Chris Bosh possibly playing, you know, center for the Heat. He's, you know, reconsidering coming back as a center to open up that 4 position for another player that they're thinking of bringing in. Nobody knows who that player is at this time. And also, you know, jumping to baseball real quick, you know, the Yankees, my team, is still tied for first with the Baltimore Orioles, but this is the first time in since 1997 the Orioles have had a winning season. So I'm actually proud of the Orioles. I'm glad they're tied with my Yankees. I just hope they don't actually come out in first in this one. But that was just another
Let the Orioles have one season. You Yankees fans are so selfish. I mean, how many times do you got to make the playoffs? I mean, I don't understand. The Orioles haven't even seen a winning season in 20 years, and you want to let them make the playoffs? Come on, now. Take the wild card.
Get
your experience.
Well, they can get in as a wild card. Why not, you know?
I mean, they're going to both be in the playoffs one way or the other. There's no way the Orioles will not make the playoffs, but I mean, there's no way you can sit there and say they're going to win the AL East, but I think they will. I just think they've gone too far. They just have so much momentum, and they have more willpower right now than the Yankees do. But obviously the Yankees have more manpower, so we'll see which one prevails. It'll be a close one. I don't know. I think the Orioles probably have a wild card, no? I think they tiebreaker. I'm sorry. The tiebreaker.
Yeah, I believe they do.
I think they do. We'll see. I mean, that could change, I guess, with wins and losses, I guess, towards the rest of the season. But, yeah, the MLB is running pretty close to being over, about 15, 16 games left. So it'll be a fun I don't think last year it could be topped as far as excitement. But we'll see what this last few weeks, you know, comes about. We'll see who makes the playoffs and who doesn't. As you all know, there's 2 wild card teams this year in each league, which call another wild card, if you will, but it basically means the 2 wild card teams have a 1-game playoff to whoever wins the game gets to go to as the wild card. If they're going to do this, I'd say, well, you make it a 3-game playoff. They play all these games, and now they only want to have 4 teams. I mean, you know, NFL has more teams. They have 6, but the NBA and NHL, they have, you know, 8 teams in each league, 5-7 game series. I mean, in the baseball. I think the first series was 5 games or 7. I don't even know. I think it's 7. Or, I think it's 7 games now. But just, why don't you? I mean, you're going to add one more, you know, spot. Make it a 3-game series. I mean, anything can happen in one game. I think that's they're going to probably fix that. I think. But, I mean, what do you feel? Do you think it's better to have the? I mean, the pro to having the extra wild card spot is to give more teams a chance. But the con is, you know, you have these two teams. One could be arguably better than the other, but one game can go to anybody. So, what do you feel is a good thing or a bad thing?
No, I think it adds to the excitement. You know, that one game is like all or nothing. You know, all on the line. You know what?
Sure, but
that will be
there,
the one game to watch. It'll be more exciting than watching the first game of, you know, the playoff series. To watch to see who gets into that wild card spot will be the one game to watch. So I think it's a pretty good thing.
It's going to be like a football underneath a pile of NFL players that are fumbled during the Super Bowl. Tell you what, these guys will be crazy. It'll definitely be a fun game to watch, but whether it's fair, I mean, I guess it's more fair than not fair because you're adding another your spot, but come on, man, have a 3-game playoff at least. I would say have a 5-game playoff, but I guess it's a little too much. 3 is fair to me. We'll see if this causes any issues. It has been brought up a little bit, so we'll see if that changes at all. Any other top news?
That's about it. So all I have for the top news.
All right, all right. And just going in the same order I like to go in, now it's going to be my quick little college football update. One game today, it was Rutgers at USF, and Rutgers winning 23-13. And we have the current top 25. It goes like this. Alabama still has the number one spot with 48 first-place votes. With 8 first-place votes, USC holds the number 2 spot. And 4 first-place votes goes to LSU at number 3. At number 4 is Oregon. Number 5, Oklahoma. I guess tied for number 5 is Florida State. I guess you're tied with Oklahoma. Number 7 is Georgia. Number 8, South Carolina. Number 9, West Virginia. 10, Michigan State. 11, Clemson, 12, Ohio State, 13, Virginia Tech, 14, Texas, 15, Kansas State, 16, TCU, 17, Michigan, 18, Florida, 19, Louisville, 20, Notre Dame, 21, Stanford, 22, UCLA, 23, Tennessee, 24, Arizona, and at 25 is BYU. Arkansas is looks like 26 probably, not 27th. They're around that. I think they were number 8 last week, and then they lost. Had a 30.5-point favorite in the spreads and lost to University of Louisiana Monroe in the Sun Belt at home. It was a crazy victory for them.
Don't they play somebody good this week? Don't they play actually Alabama this week, Arkansas?
They do play at Alabama. I do have my big matchups this week. That is one of them. Which doesn't seem so significant at this point, but it's actually at Arkansas. But if Louisiana Monroe can come into Arkansas and beat them, I suppose Alabama can probably have an easy game. I don't know.
Didn't the rankings on the first week have USC starting off the season at number 1? And they both had they both had a victory, but now Alabama has been chosen as the number 1 team, and they both 1-0.
Yeah, I mean, you have to factor in strength of schedules. Alabama, I believe they beat Michigan, and USC beat Hawaii. So I guess they felt that was a bigger accomplishment for Alabama. But USC's fine. If they go undefeated, they'll be in the top 2 spots. They should. Other big games this week, Wake Forest at number 5, Florida State. California at number 12, Ohio State, and you have the number 1 Alabama at Arkansas. Should still be a good matchup. I mean, Arkansas is a good team. You know, everybody has one of those games. Louisiana Monroe, and I'm saying this because they just beat Arkansas. They were at Auburn. Virginia at Georgia Tech. This is a big game. Number 18, Florida at number 23, Tennessee. Number 25, BYU at Utah. Number 14, Texas at Ole Miss. And number 20, Notre Dame at number 10, Michigan State. And then your FIU Golden Panthers are playing at UCF. It was a pretty big matchup last year. UCF came here and played FIU, big favorites, and FIU won, which was pretty cool. Anything else? Do you have any other big games? I mean, that's the big games I saw.
No, those are pretty much the biggest games of the week right there. I'm pretty excited about the Florida-Tennessee game. That's going to be a real good game.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to win that one. Should be a good one for sure. You would think Tennessee would come out and play well, but they said Florida has a really good defense. So we'll see what happens with that one.
For once, I'm going to say go Gators.
Yeah. UM plays. Who does UM play this week? They play an easy game.
He's playing Stanford. That looks like it's going to be a good game.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I forgot about that one. I mean, it should be an easy game for USC, but it's been a big game over the last couple of years with Andrew Luck and Brinkley playing each other. Should be an easy game for USC, but you know those division games are never an easy game. So we'll see what happens. And it is time for Hootie's Corner, and I'm going to kick it off to Hootie. Outside of the four major sports, we still have a lot of sports to go. What do you got for us today?
Well, I'm going to start off with tennis right now, and I'll start off with the women's from the U.S. Open. Serena Williams, of course, won. As usual, it's her 15th Grand Slam title, and she beat Victoria Azarenka. And actually, this was the first three-set match in a finals in 17 years of the women's singles at the U.S. Open. So it's the first time it's gone all the way to the three-set. And then on the men's side, Andy Murray actually won it all, beating Novak Djokovic. And that's his first Grand Slam, and also this is the first time in 76 years a Brit has won the singles men's Grand Slam. So that's hooray for the Brits, I guess. You know, they had the Olympics, and now they have Andy Murray. It's all a great thing.
True.
You got to love it. And Andy Roddick, who, you know, was retiring this year, he made it to the fourth round. He played his last match Wednesday in the fourth round against Juan Martin Del Potro. And he lost in four sets, and it's heartbreaking to see him not make it to the finals in this one because you really wanted him to get to the finals in his last, you know. Maybe he won't retire. Maybe he'll back out now that he didn't make it all the way to the end.
Nah, I don't think he will. But you would think he would make it pretty far. But, I mean, that's probably why he retired anyways. You know, he's tried, and just seemed to not be able to get anywhere. So it's probably the best decision. But while you're ahead, you know.
Exactly. You know what? He's made enough money. He's made it. You know, he's been ranked number one in the world. He's won enough Grand Slams. You know, another one really, you know, it would have been nice to go out with one, but, you know, like, go out when you're on top. You don't want to go out, the 50th, you know, ranked player in the world. It's better to go out, you know, in the middle there, 10th, 12th, 13th player in the world than to go out, like, at a low rank because you just passed your years.
True.
So on, I'm just going to switch to a quick note on golf. There isn't much going on right now. A lot of people are talking about Rory McIlroy being, you know, the player of the year, you know, with his wins. And this week they chose Davis Love III, chose the Ryder Cup team, and he chose Jim Furyk, Steve Stricker, Dustin Johnson, and Brian Snedeker. And from what I hear, we are still predicted to be the winners of this. This is a good team he put together. So, you know, as far as the golfers that are out there go, you know, looks like we might have another win at the Ryder Cup. Do you follow golf? Well, I know you golf yourself. So do you watch it? Do you think this is a good team? Or do you know any of these things that you chose?
I don't know enough about it. I don't have time. It's just such a long process to watch golf, you know. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I usually work all of those days every week, so yeah, I don't have. I mean, I watch a little ESPN, but I mean, there's no dominant player out there. I mean, Mick Elroy, I would say, is showing dominance right now, but you know, I don't know enough to say who's going to win or not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow the, like, I'll watch, you know, a match here or there, you know. But, you know, when it comes to the Ryder Cup, I don't watch that. I mean, it's just too much to watch. All these teams going, you know, back and forth, it's a lot. So anyway, so just in case we have some NASCAR fans out there, I'm a borderline NASCAR fan. This week starts the what they call the Race for the Chase. There are 36 races in NASCAR. I don't know if anybody knows this, so I'll just go over what it is, the Race for the Chase. There's 36 races in NASCAR. Through the first 26, you know, everybody races, and then after the 26th race, they take the top 10 drivers in points, because you get points for wins or coming in, how many laps you finish. There's a lot of different ways you get points. And they take the top 10 drivers in points. They automatically make it into the chase. And then they take two wild card drivers, which are two drivers between number 11 and number 20. And whichever between 11 and 20 have the most wins in those first 26 races get in as a wild card. And then they reset the points once they start this Race for the Chase. Every driver in the race gets 2,000 points, and then the first 10 drivers that have their points, they get 3 bonus points for every win that they got in those first 26 races. Unfortunately, the wild card drivers, they don't get those 3 bonus points for their wins. They just get the 2,000 points. And then they have 10 races to race it out, and then the point system is the same through those last 10 races. So that ought to be an interesting thing for the NASCAR people out there. And give me 1 second. I will have your Race for the Chase up here. But I'm a big Jeff Gordon fan. That's my man right there. And he just went into the Race for the Chase.
I've always rooted for him, too. I've never been a huge fan or anything, but for some reason I've always kind of rooted for him. I don't know why, but, yeah, he just made it in the herd. But Jimmy Johnson usually does pretty well.
Jimmy Johnson, he's been dominant lately. You know, it's absolutely ridiculous the way Jimmy Johnson has been racing over the last few years. And
yeah.
Now they recently had a change in the rules that they say is going to change up the drivers and change up everything that's going on. But right now your Race for the Chase drivers are Denny Hamlin, Jimmy Johnson's number 2 in points, Tony Stewart, Brad Keselowski, Greg Biffle, Clint Bowyer, Dale Earnhardt Jr., who's on the team with Jimmy Johnson, and Jeff Gordon, and Matt Kenseth, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., and Jeff Gordon, who just snuck in by coming in second in the last race. So he's made it into the Race for the Chase, so it's an exciting thing for those who watch NASCAR. I watch it on occasion when I get a chance. But, you know, it is supposedly the most watched sport in America today on TV is NASCAR.
Interesting.
And those three sports will wrap up Hoovy's Corner there. Hopefully one day we'll get to watch some NASCAR together, me and you.
maybe live. All right. Well, it is time to start talking about some football. And update on the game, it is now 23-10. It is 3rd-and-11 for the Packers at their own 20, and they just completed a 26-yard pass to Jordy Nelson, so they have a 1st-and-10 at the 45 with about 6 minutes to go. So it looks like the Packers got this game wrapped up. And let's talk about... Well, we can talk about last week's games, actually, if you want. Obviously, you know, upsets here and there. But it's always hard to judge week one. And let's go into last week's scores. The first game was Cowboys at Giants. And the Cowboys won 24-17. Romo looked a lot better than Eli. And Ogletree came out of nowhere and had 2 touchdowns in a huge game, the game of his life. So maybe he might be the difference maker for Dallas this year, but it's only game one, so we'll see how these two teams fare throughout the season. Don't forget the Giants still haven't had a really good regular season in a while. They just do well in the playoffs, so no surprise.
Yeah, I mean, Eli starts off slow every season, but Ogletree had 8 catches for 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. That was very impressive. Romo looked good, 22 for 29, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, they looked pretty solid, so I was impressed with the Cowboys, but you can't count the Giants out. I mean, it's the first game, and Manning always starts off slow. Victor Cruz had a bad game.
He takes about 16 games to get warmed up. Yeah, Victor Cruz was definitely a big – he might be the one to blame for that one. He missed a lot of easy passes, and he's definitely their number one receiver, so – not like him. But we'll see if he bounces back this week. Dolphins at Texans, I didn't really expect. I thought it might be a closer game. Usually is the Texans. Actually, Dolphins have never beat the Texans. But it was a pretty big win. 24 points in the second quarter for the Texans, a 30-10 win for them. Patriots 34-13 at Tennessee, no surprise there. Rams and Lions actually came out to the wire. Took 14 points in the fourth quarter for the Lions to escape with a victory. For that one, Redskins shocked the Saints in New Orleans, 40-32. 10 points, 10 points, 10 points, 10 points in every quarter for the Redskins. RG3 showed up to play. So good for him. You don't really expect it because most rookies don't do that, but, you know, he's obviously a great quarterback, so it's not like a huge surprise. But 40 points to put up, that's huge. The Eagles barely won at Cleveland. Rookie Brandon Weeden had a horrible game, probably the worst out of all five rookies. At least just as bad as
Cleveland. And they still almost won, though. That's what's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They still almost won that game.
Yeah, I don't know. Questions about if Colt McCoy was playing, would they have won? At this point, they're already invested in Brandon Weeden at his age and everything, though. So we'll see what the Browns do. Falcons look good, 40-24 at Kansas City. Falcons always a good regular season team. Haven't yet to show anything in the playoffs. They are the exact opposite of the New York Giants. And crazy game here, Bills at Jets. I know even you were surprised, Hootie. 48-28 Jets at home. Not to say that the Bills are great, but all the money they spent in the offseason on defense, at 48 points, they got one touchdown by a player I don't even remember in the preseason, and you know, they just went bananas here. Mark Sanchez had a huge game. You expect this next week or this week? I mean, what do you think's gonna happen? Do you think this is a fluke?
They put the pressure on Mark Sanchez, and I'm glad he stepped up in his first game. You know, Hill had 5 receptions, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns. Sanchez threw for 3 touchdowns. You know, they only had 1 turnover, which is great. You know. So I was impressed with him, and I'm glad that after all the pressure was on and such a horrible preseason, he stepped up in his first game, and I believe he can do it again in this next week.
I'm putting it on Tebow's positive attitude towards the rest of the team. It might sound silly, but you know what? That guy is an influence. That guy's an influence.
Yeah, and they play the Steelers this week, so we need we definitely need him to step up.
We'll get to my predictions in a minute, so we'll see who I have winning that game. And the Jaguars at the Vikings, close game. 55-yard field goal by their rookie Blair Walsh put it to overtime, and the Vikings won it in overtime with another field goal. So 26-23 win for the Vikings. Bigger news, AP actually had a decent game, like 80, 90 yards. He had 2 touchdowns, so I was pretty shocked by that myself.
The Chicago Bears got the win. I was just going to ask, what do you think about Christian Ponder? You think he's really their future? Think you can rebuild? Just needed a few years to settle in.
I don't watch him enough to really know, but he looked okay last year. I think if they continue to give him the ball, he'll be all right. I mean, if they can get their defense back to where it should be, if they have a guy like Percy Harvin returning kicks. You know, they get a couple wide receivers. You know, get Toby Gerhardt rushing behind AP. If you get the running game good, they have a good enough team. I mean, Ponder doesn't have to be a superstar to win. So we'll see. I guess he's good enough to win if the rest of the team kind of gets decent. So he can't carry the team by himself, no. But he can definitely win games if the rest of the team gets the way they should. So kicking looks good. I mean, Blair Walsh came in as a rookie. I guess they had a 55-yard field goal to end regulation. And sooner to win the game in OT. So So I think he's good enough. We'll see if the rest of the team can do well. Yeah, Bears demolished the Colts. And Andrew Luck's first game, 41-21 Bears. Cardinals, Seahawks, two teams I find really similar. Both ended the season last year pretty good. We'll see where these guys end up. Cardinals winning 20-16. All the talk about Skelton and Culp, who's going to get the start. Culp with a big contract. He should start, but, you know, he wasn't playing good. So they went with the guy Skelton because he played better in preseason. And sure enough, he gets injured. So Culp finished the game, and he will get the start this Sunday versus the Patriots. Panthers at Buccaneers is a big upset for me. Buccaneers won 16-10 behind Josh Freeman. New running back, Doug Martin. For the Green Bay Packers and the 49ers, 49ers winning on the road 30-22. Packers just did look at themselves, but that's what the Niners and a great defense do. So, just one game against a really good team, maybe the best team in the NFL. Everybody kind of doubted the Packers, but they won tonight. So,
I mean, Packers didn't, their stats don't look bad. I mean, Rodgers threw for 300 yards. Two touchdowns. I mean, they only had one turnover. I mean, they didn't really play a bad game, but the 49ers just outplayed them. And you've been saying this year that the 49ers were the real deal, and I've been waiting to see it. And you know what? I believe you now. I do. You guys are here to play this year.
Yep. Well, I would finish the rest of this, but... It is time for the stat of the week, and it seems like every week it seems to be a retirement or a death or something. So my stat of the week is turning out to be a remembrance. This time it's going to be of Jim Calhoun as he retired today. Like I said, career winning is 618 wins, 233 losses, a 726 average. Played for the head coach for Connecticut all 26 years. Aged 70 in tournaments, he was 15-19. Like I said, four Final Fours and three national titles. Seven Big East tournaments. So he had a pretty good, illustrious coaching career. Probably only Coach K has done better, but definitely shouts out to him. He battled a lot. I believe he had cancer twice and overcame it, came back. He's battled injuries, and he fought to come back and coach, and just enough got enough. So shouts out to Jim Calhoun and a great career. Have any stats?
Well, I'd just like to mention that Derek Jeter tied Roger Maris for 10th, the all-time hit list with 3,283 hits in today's game. So I definitely wanted to bring that up as a stat.
Yeah, I thought he was actually injured. He got hurt yesterday, but I guess he came back and got an RBI today, so good for him.
Yep. And then since we didn't touch on one game, I would just like to drop this little number. Peyton Manning in his first game, you know, as a Denver quarterback against the Steelers, they won, and Peyton was, you know, he did good. He was 19 for 26 for 253 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he had a good game. So, you know, that's my other stat. It's good to see, you know, Peyton back after neck injury and Indianapolis not willing to, you know, put their money on him. It's good to see that he still was able to play and play well in the first game. And they beat the Steelers, who are usually a very, you know, a very tough team to beat.
So yeah, speaking of that game, just getting back into the scores, that was the next game to talk about, Steelers-Broncos. And, yeah, Broncos won 31-19, 17 points for the Broncos in the fourth. So, yeah, big game by the Broncos. Good to see Pate come out. I mean, it's just, I didn't know, you know. I mean, I thought he would, the whole time I really thought he wouldn't be the same, but why wouldn't he? I mean, Payton's been pretty reliable all his career, so.
Him a good front line around him, and, you know, I mean, his ability to audible, that's not going to change with a neck injury. His ability to see the rush coming and release the ball to you know, a secondary or tertiary receiver, I mean, that is not going to change. His flexibility and his ability to swivel, you know, his head to see what's going on in the field, yeah, that's affected by his neck injury. But the rest of that stuff he's able to do as a quarterback, that's never going to change. So, you know, you give him a good enough line to protect him so he doesn't get injured, this guy's going to do great anyway.
Well, he's doing good so far, so we'll see how he fares this week. The two Monday night games, Ravens-Bengals. Ravens dominated 44-13. Just, you know, too much defense, too much offense for the Ravens, for the Bengals to handle. So no surprise there. Chargers-Raiders, not much offense in this game. Pretty boring game, to be honest with you. A lot of field goals. Chargers win 22-14. I think the Chargers to win. I just don't believe in Carson Palmer. I mean, I know you're a Jets and Raiders fan. I don't have faith in the Raiders, and I didn't pick them this week to beat the Dolphins. So,
my Carson Palmer, I'm not a fan of his either. You know, they're my team, but I think they're going to lose this week too. You know, it hurts to say it, but you got to be realistic.
Yeah, ESPN actually picked the Dolphins 32nd on their power rankings. But
американская фирма Transceptor Technology приступила к производству компьютеров персональный спутник.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Here are my power rankings I've assembled. It did change from last week. There's no way they would stay the same. Even though ESPN's got Miami at 32, doesn't mean I have them. I think Cleveland is the worst team in the NFL. So I have them as my number 32 team. 31, I have the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number 30, I have the Colts. And then I have number 29, the Miami Dolphins. At number 28, the Tennessee Titans. Number 27, the Oakland Raiders. 26, the St. Louis Rams. They played pretty well last week against Detroit. So, see, you know, I can only base it up one game. 25, Kansas City. 24, Buffalo. 23, Minnesota. 22, Tampa Bay. 21, Arizona. Number 20, Seattle. Number 19, San Diego. Number 18, Cincinnati. This is where it got tough. 17, Pittsburgh Steelers. And then the second half, I have number 16, Denver Broncos. Number 15, New York Jets. Number 14, the Atlanta Falcons. 13, Washington Redskins. Number 12, the New York Giants. 11, the New Orleans Saints. Number 10, Carolina Panthers. Number 9, the Eagles. 8, Cowboys. At 7, the Bears. 6, Detroit. 5, Houston. And my top 4 are the Patriots. Number 3, Packers. Number 2, Ravens. And number 1, the 49ers. I think the Niners are just a complete team. And their defense is the first thing you talk about, but their offense is actually getting really, really good. So, those are my power rankings. Do you have any notes, anything to add about that?
Well, I was just wondering what you think about Sunday night's game. Detroit is going into to play the Niners, and the Niners might be without Teddy Ginn and Brandon Jacobs.
The Lions might be without Megatron. So
yeah,
either way,
I was gonna say next. You're losing one receiver on one team, and you're losing a running back and a receiver on the other team. What do you think that matchup's gonna be like if all three players don't play?
It don't matter. First of all, defense usually trumps offense. But then, you know, the Niners actually have an offense too. So I just think that it's going to be a blowout. At least 10, 15 points, I think. I mean, you got to like, even if Megatron plays, him and, you know, Stafford are a really good tandem. But I don't know. I don't see it faring well. But here are my predictions. And it looks like this. For this week, I had the Packers 37-24 of the Bears. Didn't quite get that many points, but pretty even spread. Bills 27-20 at home against the Chiefs. I think the Saints will win. No, excuse me. Saints at Panthers, 34-31 Panthers. We have the Bengals hosting the Browns. I think it'll be Bengals 25, Browns 13. Vikings 24-20 over the Colts in Indianapolis. Texans at Jaguars, I think it'll be 38-20 Texans. Dolphins at home against the Raiders. I think the Dolphins win this one 24-17. They're not as bad as everyone thinks they are. We'll see if Tannehill can get back on the horse and play a little better. Patriots hosting the Cardinals. Patriots win 33-18. Giants hosting the Buccaneers. Should be a close game. I think the Giants win 27-20. Ravens at Eagles. I like the Eagles, but no, I don't think they win. I think it's 34-27 Ravens. Cowboys at Seahawks, 28-24 Cowboys. Redskins at Rams. Should be 35-23 Redskins. Jets at Steelers. I do have the Jets winning 24-20. Titans at Chargers. I think the Chargers win 28-20. And with two late games, I think 49ers win 34-27 over the Lions, and Broncos win at Falcons 27-25.
Falcons start off good every year, and they play good in the regular season. So that's an interesting game right there. That's like my game of the week right there. I mean, Peyton Manning coming in with this new, you know, Broncos offense. And Atlanta's usually good at the beginning of the season. Ryan is doing good. He had 299 yards in the first week and three touchdowns. Three carries for 25 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he seems to be on fire right now. So that's going to be a tough call for me right there. I think that's going to be the game to watch. Of all these games, that's the one right there.
Well, that's why they put it on Monday night, man. They already know. So... just going in really quickly to my injury reports. For the Cardinals, John Skelton is questionable. Looks like Kevin Cobb will get the start for Arizona. Chris Beanie Wells is probable. Falcons, Roddy White is questionable to groin injury. Baltimore Ravens, Ed Reed hamstring is probable. For the Bills, Stevie Johnson is a groin injury. He's probable. Fred Jackson is out. He got injured last week with a knee injury. Carolina Panthers, Jonathan Stewart is probable. He was upgraded from questionable, which was yesterday, actually. But looks like he's probable to play. For the Bears, Matt Forte. I mean, he was questionable. He played, but after the injury, he's out. So, obviously, the game's over. We'll see if he's ready to go next week. For the Bengals, Bernard Scott, running back, is questionable with a hand injury. Donald Lee is questionable to tight end. For the Browns, Trent Richardson is probable with his knee injury. They're banged up in the running back position. Benjamin Watson, their tight end, is probable as well. For the Dallas Cowboys, Jason Witten, probable for the spleen injury. He played last week, so he should be fine. Felix Jones, probable with a rib injury. Marcus Ware is questionable to hamstring injury, so we'll see if he plays. Denver Broncos, Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver. He has a little injury, but he said it's probable for this week's games. He should be fine for Monday night. Lions, Calvin Johnson is questionable. That's the big news out of Detroit with a foot injury, so we'll see if he's ready to go. Packers already played. Like I said, Greg Jennings was out. But it looks like the rest of the team stepped up and did well for Aaron Rodgers. The Texans, Brian Cushing, linebacker, is questionable. Aaron Foster is probable. He left practice Wednesday, but he said he should be back on the field today, and he should be fine for the game this weekend. Obviously, he's one of the best backs, possibly the best back in the NFL. For the Colts, T.Y. Hilton is probable with a shoulder injury. Dwight Freeney, questionable with ankle injury. It said Austin Collie, who was out last week, should be ready to play. Pat Angerer, last year's leading tackler, he's out, pretty doubtful with a foot injury. So he shouldn't be playing this week. For the Jaguars, running back Rashad Jennings is questionable. And Maurice Jones-Drew is playing. So we'll see how many touches Jones-Drew has. he's fine. He just had to get back into game shape after holding out for so long. For the Chiefs, cornerback Brandon Flowers, one of the best cornerbacks in the league. He has a foot injury, but he said he's probable to practice fully today. For the Miami Dolphins, wide receiver Anthony Armstrong is questionable. Daniel Thomas is also questionable with concussion-like symptoms. So that's all so far. We'll see how that progresses come Sunday. For the Vikings, Antoine Winfield, cornerback, is probable, and Adrian Peterson is probable as well. The injury, he practiced full today, so he just has to get – he's already a good running back. He needs to get back to AP running back style. For the Patriots, no big injuries here. For the Saints, Avery Henderson is questionable, and Jabari Greer, cornerback, is a groin injury. He said he should play. He practiced fully today for the second straight day. And Adrian Arrington, wide receiver, is on the injured reserve now with a knee injury. For the Giants, Hakeem Nicks questionable with a foot injury. We'll see if he plays. New York Jets, Dustin Keller, hamstring injury, is questionable. Darrell Revis is questionable as well with a concussion. So we'll see if those two are big pieces to the Jets, points. So we'll see if they're ready to play. Oakland Raiders, Denarius Moore is probable. Jacoby Ford is out. He underwent foot surgery, so he could be out for a few weeks, maybe a few months. For the Eagles, Jeremy Maclin is questionable. They said he normally plays with big injuries, so we'll see if he can play this one. Adam Schefter said it might be a too big of an injury. Other wide receiver, Jason Avant, wrist. He participated fully today, so he's probable. For the Steelers, Mendon Hall is questionable with a knee injury, so he practiced fully today, so he should be good to go. Linebacker James Harrison is questionable. For the Chargers, Ryan Matthews is questionable. They need him back. I mean, they had Ronnie Brown starting last week, so they need Ryan Matthews back in the lineup. He did not play last week, so we'll see if he's ready to go. Antonio Gates is questionable as well. They said he's just sore, so hopefully he gets some rest and gets out there for Phillip Rivers. For the 49ers, Brandon Jacobs is questionable. Ted Ginn, questionable too, like you said earlier. So we'll see if they can both play. Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch is probable. He was questionable last week, but he played, so he should be fine. Tight end Zach Miller is questionable as well with a foot injury. Sidney Rice, knee injury, missed a second practice today, so he's definitely questionable for the weekend. For the Rams, no big injuries here. For the Bucks, LeGarrette Blount has an injury, probable, but he's not even a starting running back at this point. So Doug Martin is. For the Titans, Jake Locker is probable. I guess his left shoulder injury, but he should be fine. He practiced today. Kenny Britt came off his one-game suspension, so he'll be ready to go this week. They said he'll play about half the snaps. Wide receiver Nate Washington has a leg concussion. He is questionable. And for the Redskins, Pierre Garçon is questionable with a foot injury. He had a huge game last week, connecting with a huge 70-80-yard touchdown for RG3's first touchdown. So that is our injury report so far. And with that, let's quickly just get into MLB. And let's see. This is when it gets interesting. I know NFL is all the talk right now, but there's nothing better than the last few weeks of baseball. And I've been itching to get into the standings because I know the first name I'm going to read is not the Yankees. All other guys.
It's Baltimore.
Orioles. The Orioles are leading the AL East.
They are tied. AL East. Yes, they are tied.
All right. Don't get so sensitive over there, Hootie. You guys are so tied. 81-62, the Baltimore Orioles and the Yankees are tied amongst the AL East. Tampa Bay, 4 games back. And everybody else is in no man's land. In the Central, it's getting tight. Chicago, White Sox, Detroit Tigers were supposed to play today. If the Tigers would have won, which got postponed, so it didn't play. Verlander was scheduled to go against Chris Sale, but it got postponed due to rain, so that game will have to replay tomorrow or whenever they're going to play it. So as of right now, White Sox have a one-game lead on the Tigers. Been like that all year, so You got to think the Tigers win that, but we'll see. Slugger Adam Dunn's been on the hasn't been playing for about a week, so we'll see how that division shapes up. It's only a two team race in that division. In the AL West, Texas 85-58 has a 3-game lead over Oakland, 7.5-game lead over the Angels. In the NL, Washington Nationals 89-54, best record in baseball, unbelievable. Strasburg shut down for the year, but don't look now, Gio Gonzalez is pitching, and he's going for his 20th win tomorrow, I believe. So they still got a good team. Atlanta is as good as Atlanta is, 81-63, they're 8.5 back. Philadelphia 17.5 back, but they're only 3 games out of the wild card, and now we'll go.
And they're surging. They've been winning lately.
Boy, hootie. I don't know what to tell
you. They've been on fire lately.
Just lost to the Houston Astros.
Yeah,
3.5 back. We'll get to the wild card standings, though. They're making a run, though. Don't count them out. Victorino's going, what the hell's going on here? They just sent me to the Dodgers, and now they're winning. The Dodgers had the best lineup in baseball. They can't win anything. It's crazy. The NL Central Reds, equally as impressive as the Nationals, 87-57, 11.5-game lead on the St. Louis Cardinals, 14-game lead on the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Milwaukee 14.5 back. Those three teams still have a chance at the wild card. St. Louis in the wild card. The NL West, San Francisco, 81-62, and the Dodgers, as good as their lineup looks, are 74-69. 7 games back, Arizona 10 games back. And I said it, even though their lineup looks impressive, they just got a whole bunch of people that never really played well to begin with this year, so not like they're going to turn around and start playing well, I guess. Looking at the wild card lead, well, either Baltimore or New York is holding that second wild card spot. Oakland has a 1-game lead over those two teams. So those three teams are in the playoffs as of right now. Angels looking in, 3.5 back. Tampa Bay, 4. Detroit, 5.5. Detroit has a better chance of winning the division. And then Seattle and everybody else is at least 12.5 back, so they're probably out of it. In the NL, Atlanta, St. Louis. Atlanta firmly has a wild card. St. Louis barely holding on to that second spot. Dodgers, 1 game back. Pittsburgh, 2.5. Milwaukee, 3 games back. Philadelphia, 3.5. Arizona, 4. San Diego Padres are actually only 6.5 back. Mets, 10. Marlins are 12.5 games back. You know, they're not eliminated yet. Saying that. We'll see. Looking at the upcoming schedules for the weekend.
This is where it gets interesting, because you've got your Baltimore playing like Tampa Bay or something, and you got the Yankees playing Tampa Bay and Baltimore playing Oakland. So you've got two good matchups in the East. So we'll see which team comes out of this series once in first place.
Pirates have a good matchup if they want to make a run here at the Cubs. See if they can win some games there. Tigers at Indians might be a chance for the Tigers to get some wins here, take over the division. Rays at Yankees. If the Rays want to get back in this race, they need at least 2 games here. A sweep would be perfect for them, but not for you. Red Sox, Blue Jays, pointless division game here. Reds at Marlins. Even if the Marlins sweep, it won't play spoiler to anybody. Reds firmly holding that division lead. Nationals at Braves. I mean, Nationals, they're going to win that division easily. They have an 8-game lead, 8.5-game lead, so. But still an interesting matchup. Phillies at Astros.
The Braves need to win to get into the wild card. So, I mean, the Braves are going to be up playing to win.
They still have a 6-game lead on that. I mean, they know. I mean, last year they lost an 8-game lead. So, clearly they know how important and how – they're not going to take it for granted. So, yeah, you're probably right. They're going to play pretty tough. But the Nationals don't seem to let go. So, it'll be a good series for sure. And did the Nationals play? No, they didn't play today. Oh, no, you know, let's see. I think Saturday.
And you know what? Atlanta's coming off of 3 losses in a row, so I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. The Nationals, I'm trying to see when Gio Gonzalez plays. Maybe he plays Sunday. He's going for his 20th victory for the Nationals. I think he plays Sunday on Sunday Night Baseball. But continuing on with the schedules, Mariners at Rangers should be an easy. Rangers are cruising. Angels at Royals. You know, the Angels need to win. Royals aren't an easy team, but they should beat the Royals. White Sox at Twins. Twins are looking pretty good. It's not going to be an easy road for the White Sox. Twins looking good. I mean, at home, it'd be a tough series for the White Sox. Mets at Brewers. Brewers still have a shot there, the wild card, so they're going to be fighting. Giants at D-backs. Giants, you know, they have a firm lead. They have a nice little lead there in the NL West. D-backs still have a shot at the wild card, so it should be a good matchup. Orioles at Athletics. Two great teams, low payrolls. These are my two teams, man. I'm rooting for these guys all day. I'm rooting for the Orioles just because of the Orioles. They sucked all since I've been alive. And the Athletics, man, Billy Bean. I got to root for the Athletics, man. That's the only reason I want them to win. Rockies at Padres. Doesn't mean anything. And Cardinals at Dodgers will be a huge game. Like I said, Cardinals have the second lead. Second wild card spot, Dodgers only one game back as of right now, and they are playing right now, too. So if the Dodgers win that game, they're tied, or the Dodgers have the tiebreaker, probably. So big series right there with huge playoff implications.
And just for the record, Gonzalez is pitching on Sunday night for Sunday Night Baseball.
Sunday night. Right. And I'm not going to go too far into it. Just going to go to your leaders. Miguel Cabrera leading the AL with a .346 batting average. Hey. Oh, sorry. He's leading the AL. Mike Trout is leading with a .331 average. Cabrera with a .328. Jeter, .323. In the NL, sorry. Melky Brown, like I said, he doesn't have enough at bats to qualify. So at this point, it's McCutchen leading with a .340 batting average. Posey, .333. The NL in home runs. Ryan Braun, 38. John Carlos Stanton at 34. Jay Bruce, 33. Your AL home run leaders, Josh Hamilton, 41. Encarnacion, 40. Adam Dunn, 38. Granderson, 37. Cabrera, 36. RBI leaders for the AL, Hamilton, 121. Cabrera, 118. Josh Willingham, 105. Is pretty impressive for him. Encarnacion, 102. And for the NL, Chase Headley has 102 RBIs for San Diego. It's a random player. Ryan Braun, 100. Jay Bruce, 96. Alfonso Soriano, 96 as well. Matt Holliday, 94. Just quickly in your pitching stats, just wins and ERAs here. In the NL, your ERA leader is R.A. Dickey, 268. Kershaw, 270. Johnny Cueto, 271. Wins leader in the NL is Gio Gonzalez, 19. R.A. Dickey, 18. Cueto, 17. AJ Burnett was 15. I thought this was really interesting. No knuckleball pitcher has ever won the Cy Young Award, so that would be a first if R.A. Dickey gets it. If they're going to count a good team versus a bad team, they might give it to Gio Gonzalez. But, you know, one win versus 30-40. I mean, I would give it to R.A. Dickey, but I don't know how they're going to fare on that one. AL, 17 wins for David Price and Jared Weaver. 16, Harrison, Chris Sales, Matt Scherzer. With ERAs, David Price, 254. Jared Weaver, 274. Chris Sales, 288. Verlander, 291. Hernandez, 292. And I just thought this was interesting. Strikeout leader, Matt Scherzer and Justin Verlander, both for the Tigers. Scherzer, 220 strikeouts for the AL to lead that. And the NL, the highest is Kershaw with 206. So that's really all I have for stats. Any final thoughts?
Well, I wanted to ask you one question. It's on a totally different note. What do you I was reading today that Dwight Howard is going to miss the start of camp and the beginning of the preseason because he's still recovering from the back surgery. What are your feelings on the Lakers picking him, knowing that, you know, he was going to be in recovery for so long and probably would miss the beginning of the season?
You know?
Well, then they must have known it wasn't a serious injury and that he'd be fine. I mean, they know all this stuff. They're not gonna fool around with that. Like I said, they have the second best center. So to throw away the second best center to get the number one center, they know that he's gonna be healthy. So what, he misses a week or two? They're not really worried about, you know,
yeah,
a couple weeks. You know, they're worried about.
I mean, Mitch said that they're sure he's gonna be 100% during the season. They just don't know when. But, I mean, they chose him knowing he was in rehab for his back and would probably miss the beginning of the season. And that was never mentioned when they were talking about that trade. I forgot he had the back surgery. And now I'm just reading this saying he's going to miss the beginning of the camp and probably the preseason. I'm like, whoa, I forgot he had surgery. I was wondering if
he had
the summer.
Hey, I didn't know that either, but I don't think it's a big deal. Maybe it is, but if it was, I mean, there's no way the Lakers would take a risk like that. You know, if they didn't have anybody, you know, they would, but they had Bynum, so they're not going to risk it. Like, if there was a big injury, there's no way they would have made that play. No way. I thought. But
and
we'll
just
see.
For the record, I'm doing today's show off of my Rajon Rondo Skullcandy headphones, and I hope they sound clear.
Sound pretty clear, I think. I'm doing mine in Miami, in the car.
I love that.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all I have today. Like I said, congratulations to Jim Calhoun and his great coaching career. Good luck to all your teams out there for baseball. Good luck to the Orioles and the A's. And as much as I don't want to say it, good luck to your Phillies and your brother. Hopefully they can somehow scratch away and get at least a number five spot, get that wild card spot. They said if they make it to the wild card, they have the best chance because they have three number one pitchers. So they can pitch one player. Say they can pitch one player before the last game of the season to get to that spot, pitch another player to win that game, and then still start off the next series with another number one starter. So they said that's the only team in baseball that can do that. So
that's a good thing.
Long way away, but as we saw last year, two teams squandered 10-9 game leads, so it seems like 3.5 games isn't too far. They should wrap up the next three games against the Astros, hopefully, for your sake.
Yeah, hopefully.
All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it. I'm glad everybody listened. I'm glad to be back with you this week, and hope to be with you next week.
All right, guys, so you all know the Zen Man does not work on Sunday, so I will be here bright and early, 11 o'clock. Be sure to join me with the Southernmost NFL pregame show. Last week's show went pretty good. This week's show, I'll have everything I had last week, which was the predictions, fantasy, NFL scores, all that good stuff, the injury reports, and this week I'll have all that, plus my last week's scores, last week's fantasy leaders, and all that good stuff. Feel free to call in. I'll give you my best advice for your fantasy matchups. So, look forward to that. Also, next Thursday, make sure to join me and Hootie back again here at 11 o'clock on Chip Show Radio for another edition of the Southern Most Sports Wrap with the Zen Man and Hootie. With that, thank you for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Hootie.
Thanks a lot. All right.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Lane for the run. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall,
take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling at a fender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
This is That's Southern Most Sports Wrap. Only at Ship to Shore Radio.